Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. After a little bit of Zoom trouble, Baruch Hashem, here we are, and we are ready to learn. So we are learning Lezeicha Nishmasa and Li'ilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May Yidin Hashem have a continuous Aliyah and Zechira Latova, and the Schus of the Divrei Torah that we all share this evening, and the Schus of our hopefully individual and collective Avodas Hashem to work on the Inyanim that we learn about. And also we, of course, thank the Fron family very much for their continued dedication and stellar commitment to this Harbatza Satora, Lezecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. I would also like to thank very much Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Atta Zelenik, who are hosting myself and my family in Toronto this week to facilitate the mitzvah of Kibbut Ava'im and Bikra Cholim. So they should always be on the giving end of Chesed and of Gemilas Chesedim, which is one of the pillars that holds up our world. So let us get right into our learning, considering that we had some trouble beginning and are a little bit late. Yeah, I'm recording it on my recorder where I always record this year. It's being recorded. Okay, so here we go. Let's get started. Whew. We're so dependent on technology that when something doesn't work properly, it really throws you off a little bit. So here we go. We're talking about the author in our Sefer is spending time talking about making God's will your will. Just to give you a recap, because we're in the middle of the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, which I'm going to remind you of, but just to give you a recap where we are in the Sefer, okay? So you must not take away what a person perceives to be the point of his life. We learned this last week. I'm just giving you a fast recap. If you do, he could die. And if something is close to his life, its absence can make him ill. So if somebody loses something that's very close to them, the absence can make them ill. So our avoda is not to take away what seems to be central to our lives, but to appreciate what life, we should appreciate what life is really all about, and then take away what masqueraded is life. Returning to the desire of food, there are two forces, etc. Okay, there are two factors, he says, about food, but really anything in life. What do I want, and what does the Creator want? We must have self-sacrifice. It is to say, I will forgo my interest, and I will do what the Creator wants. This is self-sacrifice. Not everyone is capable of it. Do not rush to ignore your eye. Rather work. Identify God's will. Identify your will. And look for ways to come to what Hashem wants. So this is the idea of self-nullification in terms of my Ratzon. Self-nullifying my Ratzon and coming to what is Ratzon Hashem. And this is truly the avoda of a lifetime. This talk in the Sefer where the Mechaber is up to, the author reminded me very much of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where we began last week, which I will continue this week. So the Mishnah tells us in Parak Beis Pasuk Da, make his will like your will, so he will make your will like his will. You should be mevatel, you should nullify your will before his will. So it's almost like I have no will. My only will is to do what you want of me, God. So he will negate the will of others before your will. So Rabban Gamliel here urges us that what we must do is to make Hashem's will my will. Not I have a ratzon, Hashem has a ratzon. Rather, there's only one ratzon. My ratzon becomes what Hashem wants of me in my life. And sometimes it's not the plan of action or the course of action that we envisioned for ourselves. And sometimes it's not what we thought our will was. But the highest level of Avodas Hashem is not I have a will, God has a will, and now I negate myself to his will. Rather, my whole will is to do what he wants. And this is the level of the Gedolim, really, that their only will is to do what the Ribono Shel Olam wants of them. And that is how they frame their entire lives. So we go back to what we're doing is studying this Mishnah, which is very much what the author is speaking about, with the commentary of HaRav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, the former chief rabbi of Israel. Okay, elsewhere. So Rabbi Gabriel, if you remember what happened last time, we quoted a story about, the Sefer quotes a story of Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who would prepare the home for Shabbos. He said, if I was having important guests, of course I would prepare the home. How much more so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos HaMalka is coming? And we ended with a story from Rav Moshe Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yimkom Dama. So we're in the middle of talking about Rav Lau's interpretation of this Mishnah. The Mishnah being, once again, make his will like your will, so he will make your will like his will. Negate your will before his will, so he will negate the will will of others before your will. Okay, so Rav Lau continues Shlita. Elsewhere, in the course of telling a story involving Rabban Gamliel and his lulav, and you have to recognize that this Mishnah is taught us by Rabban Gamliel. So Rav Lau brings a Maisa of Rabban Gamliel from the Gemara to illustrate the point. Elsewhere, involving Rabban Gamliel and his lulav, the Talmud states he paid 1,000 zuz for that lulav. This detail is incidental to the story, but it's mentioned in order to teach us in Masechta Sukkah how much the Chachamim loved the mitzvahs. He was willing to pay 1,000 zuz for a lulav to teach us, says Rav Lau, no, quoting the Gemara, how precious are the mitzvos to the Chachamim. And I was just thinking to myself how interesting it is that this week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh, when I re-prepared, I tell you, I always prepare, my skirt's stuck in the chair. 1 second, please. Okay. I always prepare and then I always re-prepare, and every single time I re-prepare, I add insights that I didn't have the first time I prepared. So what struck me is that this week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh, and here Rabbi Lau brings an example of negate your will before his will. How much Rabban Gamliel loved to do the mitzvahs that he was willing to pay 1,000 zuz to pay for a lulav. So someone's will could be, I want all the money in my bank account. And someone else could say, well, that's very nice, but Hashem's will is that I should buy that lulav. So where does your will come into play with God's will? Someone who really makes his will like God's will doesn't even want the money in his bank account. He only wants to do what Hashem wants, which is to spend 1,000 zuz on the lulav, which is Rabban Gamliel did. And it was just interesting to me that this week's parsha is Parshas Re'eh, and Parshas Re'eh has the mitzvah of the Shalosh Regalim in it. So I am going to screen share for you and take you to the psukim that are relevant. 1 moment, please. Okay, here we go. I'm coming back to you. Screen share. If I'm not the host, I can't screen share. I can't mute everybody. Who? Baruch Hashem. Okay, so here we go. This is Parshas Re'eh. Okay, and the Pasuk tells us in this week's Parsha, Chag HaSukos Tasalecha Shivas Yamim. Could you see? I prepared it for you to be on this page. Chag HaSukos Tasalecha Shivas Yamim. It's in Parak Tes Zayin of Devarim in Parshas Re'eh. Chag HaSukos, you shall make for yourself 7 days. Ba'aspecha migurancha u'miyekvecha. When you bring in from the threshing floor and the wine pit and the wine vat, when you gather in your produce, ba'aspecha, when you gather, asifa, chag ha'asif. So you should celebrate Chag HaSukos. And what is the Inyan of Chag HaSukos? V'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice in your festival. Ato vincha v'itecha v'avdecha v'amasecha, you and your son, this is this week's parasha, and your manservant and your maidservant and the levi and the ger, the convert and the yasam and the almana, the orphan and the widow, asher b'sharecha, that is in your gate, shivas yamim. Tachog l'Hashem al-Kecha. For 7 days you should have a yantiv to Hashem your God in the place that He has chosen, because Hashem your God will bless you with all of your produce, with all of the work of your hand. V'hayisa ach sameach v'thaymis v'samachta b'chagecha. You will rejoice in your festival. V'hayisa ach sameach. You will be only happy. It's actually not one pasuk. It's from two different pasukim. The beginning of one pasuk and the end of the next pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, like you see on the screen. But here, we're beginning where Mamash, where we left off, where Rav Lau starts to speak about the but Rabban Gamliel paying 1,000 zuz to purchase the lulav, and here we are, this week's Parshas Re'eh. The other time we have the Shalosh Regalim is back in Emor of Vayikra. And Parak Chav Gimel, not Tazayin, and Parak Chav Gimel, you also have here the mitzvah of Sukkos, and the Pasuk tells us, Ach b'chamisa asa l'chodesh ha-shvi, on the 15th of the 7th month, when you gather in your produce, b'afsuchem chag ha-asif, you should celebrate a chag t'Hashem for 7 days. On the first day is the Shabbaton, and on the 7th day is the Shabbaton, u'lakachtam lachem b'yam harishon, you shall take for yourself on the 4th day, pre-eitz hadar, that's an esrog, kapos tmarim, that's a lulav, anaf eitz avos, that's a you shall rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. In both instances, in Sukkos, here in Devarim and Parshas Re'eh, you saw that it says, and then in Vayikra, Chav Gimel, once again in regard to Sukkos, you shall have a simcha before Hashem your God for 7 days. So intimately tied to the celebration of Chag HaSukkos is this idea of Simchas Yom Tov very, very much, and blows places in the Chumash. Just a short word from Rav Meilich Biderman, which I've said before, so maybe you remember it. The Rav Meilich Biderman Shlita says, De'oraisa, according to the Torah, what is a greater mitzvah? The mitzvah of Arba Minim or the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov? So he says that the Oraisa, a greater mitzvah, is Simchas Yom Tov. Why? Because by the Arba Minim, it says, Ulakachtam Lachem Bayom HaRishon. The Oraisa, you're supposed to take Arba Minim, Esrog, Golulav, Hadassim, and Arabos on the first day only. The Rabbanim come along and say, we extend that for all of the Yom Tov. However, the Oraisa, Smachtam of Ne'eshem Elkechem, Shivas Yamim. You shall rejoice before Hashem, your God, for 7 days. So, which is a greater mitzvah d'oraisa? What you do for 1 day or what you do for 7 days? Says Rav Meilech Biderman, you see from here the importance of Simchas Yom Tov. The Torah commands us to be b'simcha for 7 full days. Whereas when it comes to the Arba Minim, which people are so careful about, and the most perfect lulav, the most perfect esrog, everything should be beautiful and fresh, and it should be kosher and beautiful and fresh. But how about putting efforts into our Simchas Yom Tov? More efforts, in fact, into our Simchas Yom Tov, perhaps, than we put into how perfect the lulav and the esrog is. And it's something really to keep in mind. So you see here that it's very interesting, this idea of simcha, and really, a person really has true simcha when we can negate our will before his will. One of the impediments to attaining true Simchas HaChaim, if you think of your own life, maybe you're on a different madrigal than Michal Horowitz, and then it's not a challenge for you. But one of the impediments to having true, pure Simcha is that I still have a Ratzon. And often my Ratzon is different than Hashem's Ratzon. And I think things should be different. The picture should look different. I don't understand what Hashem is doing. And that becomes an impediment to my simcha. Because I have a ratzon, God has a ratzon, and my ratzon is not yet his ratzon. So going back to Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, and it's so interesting because the next thing he's going to talk about is simcha, joy. In the course of telling a story about Rabban Gamliel and his lulav, the Gemara says he paid 1,000 zuz for the lulav. This is mentioned in order to teach us, says the Gemara, how much they loved the mitzvos. The Rambam writes, continuing with Rav Lau, that the joy a person experiences, joy. He's talking about simcha. And when I was re-preparing, I went to find the psukim about Sukkos, because it's Parshas Re'eh, that teaches about this idea of Simchas Yom Tov. The very next thing that Rabbi Lau speaks about is this idea of joy. In negating your will, says Rav Lau, we must have true joy. The Rambam writes, the joy a person experiences in performing the mitzvos, as well as the love of God who commanded them, is a most estimable means, estimable, from esteemed, of serving God. A person who refrains from such joy deserves punishment. This is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Lulav. A person who refrains from such joy deserves punishment, because the verse states, what does the pasuk say in the Klalos and Kisavo? Maybe I'll go and show it to you. It's another pasuk in Devarim, and the pasuk in Devarim. So we saw the psukim in regard to Sukkos say, Vayikra 23:40, Usamachtam of Ne'eshem Elkechem Shivas Yamim. Devarim 16, Tazayin Yudal through Tasvav, Usamachtam Bechagecha, Vayisach Samech. So we have this absolute idea of being besimcha, and part of negating our will before the Ratzon of Hashem means we will come to a higher place of Simcha Sachayim, as well as internal Simcha. There's another Pasuk in Devarim in regard to the Klalos, which is in Hisavo, and the Pasuk tells us, a very famous Pasuk, that the Pasuk tells us in Devarim right here, you see it on my screen here, why will all these terrible klados come? Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha, b'simcha u'betuv leivav mirov kol. Rachmana letzlan, the punishments, the dire predictions and forewarnings will come because you did not serve Hashem your God b'simcha, u'betuv leivav, and with gladness of heart, mirov kol, when you had so much, when you had everything, and you were an ingrate, and you were not grateful, and you focused on what you lacked instead of what you did not have, and therefore you did not have simcha, so then the brachas will come. I heard the following vart from Rabbi Eli Portal. Rabbi Portal is a Rebbe in Hefter, and he is also the voice behind Rolling with the Punches podcast. Maybe some of you listened to my podcast. If you didn't, you might want to go back and listen. I think that it was very interesting and I hope inspiring. And yes, I asked Das Torah before I did it, and I was told it could be Mechazik people, so you should definitely do it. So I heard the following verse for Rabbi Eli Portal, and it is so powerful, from the Novo Minsker. Look at the Pasuk, okay? It's Chav Ches Mem Zayin in Devarim. The Pasuk says, Tachas, Asher Lo Avadat, Asher Shem Elkecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Lev V'Mirav Kol, which we usually translate to mean as because you did not serve Hashem your God with gladness and goodness of heart when you had so much. But tachas doesn't literally mean because. Tachas means under. Hayad shali tachas hashulchan achshav. Okay? Ani samti et hayad shali et yadi tachat hashulchan. Now you can't see, so you're, ani samti hayadayim shali ala rosh shali. That's not good, that's tachas. Harosh shali tachas hayadayim shali. Okay? My head is under my hands. Tachas really means under. It doesn't really mean because. So the Novominsk Rebbe Zatzal, Rabbi Yaakov Perlo, was Nifter, if you remember Zatzal, in 2020 from COVID. He was the head of Otis Gedola Torah and the president of the Agoda. Tachas means under. The Novominsk said, I heard this name of Rabbi Portal. When a person doesn't have simcha and tuv levav, there's always a tachas. There's something always underlying. It is a challenge for them. A nisayon, a difficulty in life. You might not see it. It might be under their skin, inside their hearts, hidden underneath. And to the outside, you think, why are you so smutten upon him? What's wrong? There's always a tachas that you don't understand or know nothing about. And that's why that person presents with a little bit less simchas hachayim. And if we could understand that there's always a tachas, and therefore, asher lo vadas Hashem melkacha b'simcha v'tuv levav, perhaps we could be more compassionate to people who are going through difficult times in their lives. Each as an individual, we have to work to overcome that tachas. Every individual has to work to come to a point of simchas hachayim, despite or because of the situations in our life, to make our ratzon Hashem's ratzon. When it comes to somebody else's situation, we shouldn't start being cheshbonning for them about why they're not besimcha and make your ratzon like his ratzon. Don't give other people musar. Tell to yourself. I'm talking to myself. Trust me, I'm talking to myself. When you see someone else suffering, you have to recognize, as the grain of a minsker, that there is a tachas. There is an underlying reason as to why they have not achieved a full life of happiness and contentment. Don't judge them because there's something that's tachas. Going back to Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, a person who refrains from such joy, says the Rambam, deserves punishment, because the verse states, because you did not serve Hashem your God with joy and good heart. The only greatness, says the Rambam, and honor that a person possesses, the only greatness and honor that a person possesses lies in the fact that he rejoices before God, as did King David when he ecstatically danced before Hashem. I'll tell you something interesting. We've been spending some time in the very wonderful upscale top of the class nursing home that's here. It's called Bakerest. So one of my boys told us that he spent some time in a different part of the nursing home in front of a different resident, and he was dancing, and he said he did his like chassid style alavush. He put his woolen tzitzis over his shirt and he curled his payas and he was dancing and singing. So the other child said, were you embarrassed to do that? So the other child said, no, he was bringing simcha. So I said, wait a minute, isn't there a story like this? Isn't that what happened with David and Michal? And the son who was dancing said, yeah. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau says. He quotes, the Rambam quotes actually from Sefer Shmuel Beis. This is what King David did when he ecstatically danced before Hashem. So a person has to really try and make themselves besimcha and to bring simcha to others. And when we can have true simcha, it means that we have negated our ratzon, and there's only ratzon Hashem, there's not my ratzon. Going back to Rav Lau, this was Rav Lau the whole time. The commentary discuss the seemingly superfluous usage in the phrase, so he will make your will like his will, so that he will make your will. You should negate your will. No, you should make his will like your will. Make his will like your will. So that means my will is what God wants. So he will make your will like his will. You should make his will, God's will, like your will, so that he will make your will like his will. So what does that mean? Kedei she'yaseh ritzoncha kirtzono. So the commentators discuss the seemingly superfluous usage in this phrase, so he will make your will like his will. Like his will seems unnecessary. This whole phrase seems unnecessary. Okay? Rabbeinu Yonah explains that it is God's will to meet people's needs. Hashem's ratzon is to meet our needs. Sha'asali kol tzarkei. He wants to provide us with everything we need. However, at times, as it were, a person himself prevents God from doing so, chas v'sham. But the Mishnah says, when God is pleased with a person, when I negate my will and I make his will my will, he fulfills that person's desires in worldly matters. Because Hashem's real ratzon, the commentators explain, is to do good. Hashem is the kol yachal. Hashem is the tova hametiv. Hashem created this world in order to bestow chesed upon us. His ultimate will is to do our will. So therefore, when I make his will, God's will, like my will, He will make your will like his will. That's what the commentary say it means. When I come to the point where I can negate my will, and I only want to do Ratzon Hashem, I only want to fulfill the mitzvahs, I only want to keep the Torah, I only want to do acts of midas chesed, I negate my will totally before his will, then the flip side, or the benefit, I should say, is Kadesh Yasa Ritzon Chakertzona. Your will becomes his will, because he ultimately only wants to do good. So when you daven for a refuah shleima, when you daven for a shidduch, when you daven for parnasa, ultimately that's going to become the ratzon Hashem, and your will now become the will of God. The Rashbat says God takes care of all of his creatures, but his relationship with a person who happily does his will is special. And thus he fulfills a person's will with particular benefit and providence. Even if this person were liable to evil circumstances stemming from the sinfulness of the generation, God would protect them. When a person happily does Ratzon Hashem, Hashem gives him an extra degree of special hashgacha. And even if in that door he is really worthy of chayav because of the sins of the generation, Hashem will save that person and give him special providence for doing Ratzon Hashem with simcha. And I was thinking, there's two examples of this, at least that I could think of, from Chumash. They're both from Bereishis. Noach lived in a time when everybody was worthy of destruction. And yet Noach was an Ish Elokim, as Ish Tzadik, Tamim Haya B'Dorasov, as Elokim, as Alech Noach. Noach was a righteous man. Noach walked with God. He was righteous in his generation. So even though, according to the value of the entire generation, Noach was worthy of destruction, because he made his will God's will, God made his, Noach's will, his, God's will, and he saved him. And another example of this is Avram Avinu. By the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, all of the cities of the plain were worthy of being destroyed. There were not even 10 tzaddikim, because everyone was so corrupt. Yet Avram was saved because he was a person who had a covenant with God. Avram only wanted to do what Hashem wanted. Avram went through 10 nisyonos. And Avram maintained, perhaps what you could call, is a tremendous simcha, in terms of the fact that whatever you want me to do, Hashem, is what I want to do. Tachnas binchas yichircha sharahavdas yetzcha. Lechel eretz hamaria. Valeo sham na'ola achad harim esharaka. What was Avram's will? Whatever you want, Hashem, that's my will. So here you have two examples of what the Rashbat says, one by Noach and one by Avram, both of whom lived in a wicked, sinful generation. But the fact that they had a degree of simcha and negating their will and making God's will their will, you see, it saved them. It gave them merit. And ultimately, Hashem made his own will, kaviyachal, into their will and saved them. Rav Yitzchak Kairo and the Chassid Yavetz, going back to Rabbi Lau, explained that a person does not always know what's good for him. Sometimes we think things are good for us and we don't even know, because we have such a limited scope of vision. Sometimes maybe the things we daven for are not really to our benefit. Therefore, the Mishnah states, so he will make your will like his will, kadei she'yaseh ritzoncha kirtzono, your will shall be his, God's will, in accordance with God's understanding. For only Hashem knows what is truly good for a person. So when we say, Hashem, I will negate and be mevatel and make your will my will, so you will make your will my will. So you will make my will your will. I over and over, will, will. Ratzon, ratzon, ratzon. I hope you still know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about, Baruch Hashem. When a person makes God's ratzon their ratzon, the reward is that Hashem will make your ratzon his ratzon. And then he will shower you with blessings. But we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that should only be according to the good. It shouldn't be a blanket statement that he always gives us everything we want, because sometimes it must be that we don't actually know it's good for us. So we ask Hashem to do it in accordance with your divine understanding. You truly know what's good for a person. And Rav Lau writes this, and it's well known that that's why we say by the Birkas HaChodesh, which we just said last Shabbos, Yamale Hashem Kol Mishas Lebeinu, there's a key phrase there, Latova. Why don't we just say Hashem should answer all the requests of our heart? Why do we add in Hashem should answer all the requests of our heart for the good? Just say he should answer all the requests of our heart. Because the mice of the answer is we do not always know what's good for us. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam with his infinite wisdom knows what's good. We just see a snippet of time. So we think we know what's good. But truly Hashem knows what's good. And someone once came over to me after Shir in Brooklyn, and she herself told me this. She told me that when her granddaughter was about 13 years old, she needed surgery for scoliosis. She told this to me firsthand, and she told me, I don't know, I totally don't remember her name, so I couldn't even say it over if I wanted to. She told me I could retell it. And she needed surgery for scoliosis, and it was a very extensive surgery, and a difficult surgery, and a difficult recovery, and the family really davened that the child should not need the surgery for scoliosis, because of how extensive and complicated and painful it is. And ultimately the doctors, and they davened and davened, she told me that surgery should not be necessary. And ultimately the doctors decided it is necessary, and the family was extremely disappointed. When they went in, they found a tumor on the child's spine. And it was the grandmother. She told me the story. She said, had our tefillos been accepted the way we asked, the surgery would not have been done, because that's what they were davening for. The tumor might not have been found until it was too late. At the time she told me the story, her granddaughter was a healthy 21-year-old Kanainahar. And Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this as well. He says that Hashem is always the Shomea Tefillah. He hears our prayers. He's not always the Mekabel Tefillah the way we ask. Why? Because if he was always Mekabel Tefillah the way we ask, it might not be good for us. That's exactly what Rav Lau says here. The Chassid Yavitz and Rav Yitzchak Karo explain, your ratzon should really be in accordance with God's ratzon. We ask for all kinds of things. Not to have the scoliosis surgery. The Rav asked not to have to leave Europe. We ask for all kinds of things. But Amaisa, Kirtzono, Hashem, please make it your will. Please make it a tova. Only you know what's really good for us. So of course we daven. Of course we beseech the Ribbono Shel'olam. But it should not be according to the final statement, what's my will. God, make my will your will, meaning only the tova. Says Rav Lau, I heard a similar teaching from my teacher, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, of blessed memory, the Rosh Kabahag, the Rosh Kol B'nai Agoa, Rav Shlomo Zalman. In the Birkas HaMazon, we say, Umi Kol Tuv La'olam Al Yichasreinu. Umi Kol Tuv, from all the goodness, La'olam, forever, Al Yichasreinu. Do not let us be lacking. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that Olam can mean forever, and it can also mean world. La'olam Al Yichasreinu could mean La'olam, forever, do not let us be lacking. Olam could also mean not only forever, it also means world, like this is called the Olam. So what does it mean, La'olam, in the world, Al Yichasreinu? In that case, world refers to people. La'olam Al Yichasreinu could either mean forever, let us not lack, or in this world, let people who are in this world not lack. The true good is that which God sees, which is essentially of spiritual nature. But for people living in this world, la'olam, from our perspective of this world, as people here in this olam, other things appear to be good. Therefore, we ask God to give us kol tov, all good, the true goodness that brings a person eternal life and wholesomeness. But we ask that we not lack for all those things that we also perceive as good. Umi kol tov la'olam ayichasreinu has a dual meaning. Number one, let us eternally be blessed with goodness. Ula olam, for eternity ayichasreinu, let us not lack. But the second pshat is ula olam, from our perspective of people in this world, ayichasreinu, let us not lack. Many of the commentators, going on with Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, view the two sets of statements in this Mishnah, Asei Ritzoncha, Ritzono Kirtzonecha. No, the two statements in this Mishnah, make your will like his will. Make your will, Asei Ritzon. I want to make sure I say it to you correctly. The two statements in this Mishnah, make your will like his will, which is, negate your will, make your will like his will, and I'm going to say it again. Please forgive me. Many of the commentators view the two phrases in this Mishnah. One, Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha, make his will like your will, and Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono, nullify your will before his will. So what's the difference? One says, Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha, make his will, God's will, like your will. The second statement says, Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono, nullify your will before his will. As referring to, interesting, respectively, a different pshat, performing the positive mitzvos in the case of the former, and refraining from the prohibitions in the case of the latter. So in this pshat, many of the commentators explain that statement number one, asei ritzono kirtzonecha, fulfill the positive mitzvos asei, you shall do mitzvos, and batel ritzoncha mepnei ritzono, nullify your will before his will, refers to do not transgress the mitzvos lo ta'aseh, which are usually translated as the negative mitzvos, even though I don't like that connotation, thou shalt not do mitzvos. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teaches, this is the last Rashi to Parshas Kedoshim. What should be our attitude? This is a good example. When you see pork, okay, I don't know, they call it the other white meat. Pork belly, pork chops, what else do they have? Bacon. Should you say it's disgusting, I don't want to eat it? Or should you say, I want to eat it, but Hashem said I can't? So what is the proper perspective? So I'm going to show it to you directly. Actually, I could just show it to you actually in Rashi. What do you think? Think to yourself, what should we actually say? Should we say, I'm disgusted by it? It's gross. It's unappealing. I don't want it. Or should we say, I do want it. I might like to taste it. I have someone who told me if there was one food that they could have, it would be scallops. They said they're always interested in eating scallops. They think that it sounds very delicious and they really do want it. So what is the proper attitude? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says a person should not say he has no desire to eat pork. He may well desire to eat it. Rather, he should say, what can I do? My Father in heaven forbade me to eat it. So in that case, you are negating your will before his will. This is from the Sifra to Parshas Kedoshim. When a person negates his own desires before the will of God, what he's doing is accepting God's rule. So you're really showing that the reason you're not doing something is because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, not because I have a will, because Hashem said, my will might be, I want to eat the pork. But now I totally negate that will because Hashem said you can't do it. So I have nullified, I have negated, I have no ratzon. Now for all of us, I don't think anyone here wants pork. I don't think anybody here walks by the store and says, gee, I wish I could eat that. So think of a different matzav in your life where you have a ratzon, Hashem has a ratzon. Clearly they're not matching up at this particular point in time. And you have to have the simchas hachayim to serve Hashem. And it's hard, it's a challenge, there's always a tachas. We are human beings. This is part of what it means to be an Eved Hashem and have Avodas Hashem in our lives. Avodas Hashem means Avdus. It's labor. It's laborious sometimes. You can have Simcha. You can work on cultivating Simcha. But it's an Avoda of a lifetime. It's not a magic charm that all of a sudden God's will is my will. Maybe for the Gedolim. I don't know. I'm not on such a level. It's something that I'm working on. It's something that maybe you're working on. It's something that the Mishnah tells us essential to our focus as ma'aminim, as believers. I believe Hashem has a plan. I know God has a will. And even though it doesn't seem to match up with my will, I have to work on that. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha v'ayisa ach sameach. Going on. It is not easy, says Rav Lau. Yes, correct, Nancy. I just saw your comment from 10 minutes ago, but that's exactly right. I think you're saying in shorter what I'm trying to say. If only I could do the will of God all the time, sigh. It's hard. Avodas Hashem comes from the word avodas. I know. Rav Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't sit down at a table for a night and say, oi tzvi, azoi shver tzuz bin a yid. It's so hard to be a Jew. It's elevating to be a Jew. It's gevaldik to be a Jew. Baruch Hashem shalom asani goy. But maybe people on our level have internal challenges when we don't see life going the way we expected or the way we planned. Are things panning out the way we hoped? Of course we daven for change and we're supposed to daven. We're supposed to be proactive. We're supposed to do ishtalus to help ourselves. But it's the will of Hashem that will prevail. One of the boys just asked me something the other day. Why this, why that? I said, Rabos machshavos b'levish v'atzos Hashem yisakum. Many are the thoughts in the heart of man, but it is the will of God that ultimately will prevail. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau says, when we talk about making his will my will, and the author is speaking about there are two wills, and you have to negate yours before Hashem, it's a very hard avodah. We have to be realistic. Maybe for some people it's not. Maybe for some people they say Micha Arts is exaggerating, that's not a hard avodah, and it's easy for them. Baruch Hashem, kol kavod. Kol kavod. All the eyes should be on such a level. It is not easy to sacrifice one's desire for the sake of serving God. Nevertheless, it is an essential demand of Judaism. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, famous. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, I'll go here because this is already Vayikra, very famous. The Vayikra begins, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lahashem. When a person brings mikem, it really means from within you, an offering to God. So that's very strange. It should just say, Adam ki yakriv karban lahashem, when a person brings a sacrifice to God. Why does it say ki yakriv mikem karban lahashem? He should bring from within you an offering to God. Just tell me, when you bring an offering to God, something I talk about all the time is every word in Chumash. It's very significant. No word of Chumash is by accident. Why does it say Mikem Karban Hashem? So it's a very, very famous var, because when a person offers a sacrifice, a karban, an animal, what he should really be thinking is, I'm bringing myself. Mikem, bring some of yourself onto that altar. Bring some of yourself onto the Mizbeach. Recognize that the animal is only a substitute for you. See the Ramban to Vayikra Perak Al Pasuk Tes. Mikem, the offering is to be from you. Can't just be a cow, can't just be a sheep, it can't just be a goat. It's part of you that's being sacrificed. Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, Ulhadar Kavodo. Before a person offers an animal as a sacrifice, he must offer himself, says Rav Lau, his own will, his own desires to God. And that's really what the author's speaking about. When it comes to food, he keeps using the example of food. Recognize your will, recognize God's will. Mikem, offer yourself, your own will, your own desires to God. Something beautiful that I never saw before, Rav Lau says, Mikem, you see it on my screen, right? Is also an acronym for Mida Keneged Mida. Mida Keneged Mida is measure for measure. When a person offers his will to God, God reciprocates in kind. This ties in exactly with the beauty of the Shmishnah, Mikem. When you offer yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you negate your will and make his will your will, Mikem, you've just brought yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure, because we know Hashem rewards mida keneged mida. He will now make your will his will. Beautiful. When you are able to make his will like your will, which entails bringing yourself as an offering, proverbially, mida keneged mida, then, measure for measure, he will make your will like his will. I saw something beautiful related to this idea of mikem, which I never taught, but since the word mikem came up here, I'm going to teach it now, and I really thought that this was so gewaldic. At the end of Ha'azinu, the Pasuk tells us, ready, I never told this over, but I just brought up the word mikem. Rav Lau brings up mikem. Mikem, mida, kenega, mida. When you make his will your will, then measure for measure, he will make your will his will. The Pasuk says right at the end of Ha'azinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kilo davar reiku mikem. Here it is again. It is not an empty matter from you. Kihu chayechem, because it is your life. And through this matter, through Torah, your days will be lengthened upon the ground. Esti, you were in Parsha class. Al ha'adam, asher atem, avrim, asher yardin, shama l'rishta. Moshe Rabbeinu says that Torah is not an empty matter from you. It is your life. It is through this matter of Torah that your days will be lengthened upon the ground where you are crossing the Jordan River to take possession and inherit the land. So I just saw brought down a beautiful verse. Mikem, in this instance, I'm at the end of Ha'azinu here, the Talmud Yerushalmi teaches, Lo davar reku mikem. It is not an empty matter. Torah is not empty. Im reku, but if it is empty, mikem. It's from you. Let me explain again. The Torah is not an empty matter. The Torah is not fluff. The Torah is not chas v'shalom, another book on the shelf. The Torah is not another show on the screen. You could change a channel. I'll tell you one of the cutest out of the mouths of babes. There was a little girl at the chuppah, 3 years old. She was sitting with all the cousins and my nieces and the cousins. And she was sitting at the chuppah. And she's 3 years old. And I guess it was taking too long. It's her bedtime and she's tired. And she says, I don't know if it was her mother or whoever. She says, or to her grandmother was right there. She says, I don't want to watch this program anymore. As if we could just change the channel and put on a different program. So a child comes from a home where there's programs being watched. Torah is not Devar Reik. It's not just another program. It's not just another book. It's not just another historical fact. It's your life. Lo Devar Reik Umikem. Make it part of who you are. Drink it. Learn it. Consume it. Live it. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Lo Devar Reiku Mikem, it is not an empty matter. Im Reiku, if you find the Torah is empty, Mikem Hu. It's because there's a lack in here. It's because my Ratzon is not God's Ratzon. It's because I'm not connecting to what Hashem wants. It's because I don't understand the meaning of being an Eved Hashem. It's because it's work to break my will. It's work to know what His will is. It's work to be besimcha in this life. There's always a tachas. I talk to so many people. There are so many different challenges that people face. People tell me things I can't even imagine. I couldn't even have envisioned. There's always a tachas. And the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that. He understands us. He gave us the tachas. They didn't come from nowhere. God put it in our lives. We have to work to overcome. For whatever reason, that's Ratzon Hashem. Do I understand? Does anyone understand? Do we have the answers? What's our tafkid? Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha. Batel Ritzono Mipnei Ritzonecha. Batel Ritzonecha Mipnei Ritzono. Even I'm getting confused with the Ratzon Ritzono. Not really. When I think about Baruch Hashem, I'm okay. Mikem is Mida Kenega Mida. Adam Ki Akri Mikem Karvel Na Hashem. When you bring that sacrificial offering to God, recognize it has to be from you. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau brings down Gevaldik. Mikem is an acronym for Mida Kenega Mida. When you negate yourself and make His will your will, then Mida Kenega Mida, Sheyase Ritzoncha Kirtzono, He will make your will like His will. And then we went to the end of Hazinu, Kilo Dabar Reiku Mikem. We have to understand the Torah is not an empty matter. And says Talmud Yerushalmi, Im Reiku Mikem Hu. If you find it to be empty, it's because there's something empty inside of you. We have to find the substance. We have to find the teacher we connect to. We have to find meaning. We have to find a way to understand it. We have to make it the focal point of our lives. And when Torah and Emunah and Bitachon and Chesed, when Tefillah and learning is the focal point of our lives, then it won't be Reiku and then it will be Mikemhu. I heard from my father-in-law, Rav Lyle's great father-in-law, Rav Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel, Zatzal, that at times a person brings a sacrifice, but he does not bring his heart. When he brings his own being to God, however, it is truly La Hashem. Adam ki akriv mikem korban La Hashem. It will only be truly La Hashem when it is mikem. But if it's a superficial expression of praise, then God accepts the cow, the animal, the ox, the sheep, the goat. But it is not mikem. And then we are now zochet to that issue of mida kenega mida. One second, let me just see if I want to. Let me just finish up because I don't want to go to it next week as well. Okay, I'll finish with this. There is no shortage of examples of how great, I had to choose what to tell you, of how great Jews throughout history set aside their personal desires to serve God. One such story concerns the... I know I went over, but we started late because of the Zoom issue, so I'm cognizant of the time. One such story concerns the Hasidic giant of Poland, Rav Yitzchak of Warka. Henny Machus tells over Meisim from him as well, the Warka rabbit. One freezing night as he lay in bed, he experienced a tremendous thirst. The only way to get water was to step into the courtyard and pump water from the well. Now he faced a dilemma. If he did not make the effort, he would merely be a lazy person. But if he got the water and drank it, he would have surrendered to his desires. And I think this is a perfect way, actually, to end our teaching, because the Mechaber, the author, keeps talking about our desires for food. So here we go to desire of drink, which is, of course, similar to the desire for food. So Rav Yitzchak Mivarki was sleeping in bed, and he had a tremendous desire for water. The only way to get the water was to go into the courtyard and pump the water. But now there's a dilemma. If he did not make the effort, he's an atzlan, a lazy person. But if he did make the effort and he got the water and he drank it, he's giving into his desires. So he got up. He walked to the well. He drew the water, but he did not drink it. Maybe that's what our Mechaber is talking about so much when he focuses on this idea of desire for food and God's will and your will. And therefore, asei ritzonu kirtzon necha. Make his will like your will. Kedesha yasa ritzoncha kirtzono. We gave a number of pshatim of what that means. So ultimately, he will make your will his will. He wants to give good to us. He wants to shower us with benefit. Batel ritzoncha mempnei ritzono. Another pshat refers to the mitzvos ase and then los ase respectively. Batel ritzoncha mempnei ritzono. Nullify your will before his will. Kedesha yivata ritzonachay mempnei ritzonecha. So that he will nullify the will of others before your will. Mamidesh adam modeid modedin lo halavai. The Rebbeinu Shem should give me at least the koach and the clarity, the humility and the courage to understand that the only true will in Eben Hashem is the Ratzon of Hashem, and to strive to find the simcha in life despite the impediments on our path. And then mikem mida keneged mida, when we can truly sacrifice ourselves to God proverbially, metaphysically, ultimately mida keneged mida, he will make our will like his will. Okay, there was a direct message question. 1 second. So I think if a person does the right thing because it's your nature, okay, then I don't think you should change your nature and say, oh, it's really against my nature. Make work to make that against your nature. Every person has natural tendencies. So if something is your natural tendency, then what you really need to work on in Avodas Hashem is something that's not your natural tendency. For some example, a person who's very, very patient by nature, okay? I don't think they should work on being impatient so they could come back to being patient, because that's Hashem's will. Hashem blessed you with patience. It's a tremendous bracha. You don't need to go to the 40-year school of Savanas. Call a kavod to you. So you shouldn't work on being impatient so you can now work on being patient, because that's Hashem's will. Take it as a gift that that's your natural tendency. Identify those areas that you have more of a weakness and less of a natural tendency, and strive to work on that as your main avodas Hashem. So thank you everyone for bearing with me with the Zoom issues in the beginning. I appreciate your patience. We are learning the Zeichah Nishmas Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak Allah HaShal May the Nishan continuously in the schus of these Devarei Torah. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos and a Ge'en Chodesh. So be zeichu to a kasiva v'chasima tova be'ezras Hashem, and tremendous aliyah and siyata d'shmaya in this very great avoda which we are all working on. Thank you so much, everybody. Laila tovim besoros tovos. Thank you.